Watch this. Read verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins.
Read.
Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God.
It says, yet they seek me daily to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. It's important. They love to learn to apply God's laws. Don't spare the people. Now watch this. Jump to verse 11.
Verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually.
Guide who continually? Those that take delight approaching to God. Read on.
And satisfy thy soul in drought.
Read on.
And make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
Read.
And they shall be of thee. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in.
That's what you want to be. You want to be called a restorer of the path to dwell in. You want to lead people back to the laws of God. You want to show mercy and kindness. You want to show austereness when it concerning God's laws. There's no wiggle room. There's no playing in God's laws. But it tells you, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. Your example as a leader will carry on long after you are gone, because you set systems in place. You let the laws God established. You taught that. And it affects the generations to come. So that's why I say, as leaders, don't take it as a light thing. Your actions have ripple effects. It says, and thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. You restore the people back to God. Give me Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22.
Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30.
Bring it out.
And I saw.
Hold on. I want you to go up a little higher. Start verse 27.
Verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And our prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar.
Which verse will be at? 27?
Verse 28.
Oh, no. Read verse 27 again. I'm sorry.
Verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain.
Read on.
And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar.
What does it mean, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar? What's untempered mortar referring to? Not you, somebody else. Somebody in the back, just raise your hand. Just try. Right there, all the way to the same brother in the back. Untempered mortar. What's your name?
Mordecai.
All right, go ahead.
Untempered mortar.
Read the verse again for him.
Verse 28. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar.
Read.
Seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken.
What's untempered mortar?
So it sounds like the people is being lied to?
Who understands what the word daub means? Somebody give me the definition of daubed.
I mean, that's like dab, right?
Okay. Like, yeah. Like, look it up. Okay, untempered. What's untempered? If you know that, what's untempered mortar?
Shit, I don't know. What
when something is tempered, Bishop? No, no, not you. When something is tempered, when a piece of metal is tempered.
Oh. So it's like it's like when you do the foundation on a building, it's a certain kind of wood that you have to put on the dirt. It's because it got some stuff on it to make it last.
No.
Like a treatment.
Okay, treatment is the word, but yeah, but that's not okay. Somebody else. Right, not behind you. Right, yeah.
Hey, Shalom Leadership. This is Officer Enos. Untempered mortar is like soft mortar. It's not strong. Right. It'll fall.
Right, right. It's like when you temper a piece of metal, you'll heat it up. You'll put it in water. You'll bang it. You heat it up. And it's strengthened. So untempered mortar is mortar that's not strengthened. It can't hold up anything. So when it says, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. Her prophets, what does it mean? Her prophet had daubed them with untempered mortar. Same brother. You can just talk loud. Okay, that's good. That's good. Somebody else. Your analogy is right, but I want. Okay, good.
They're being daubed with untempered mortar, with vanities, with false things, things that can't hold any weight.
Very good. It's not going to survive the test of time. Very good. A prophet daubed. Give me verse 29.
Verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercise robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge.
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. The hedge is the laws that's supposed to guide them. Read on.
And stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
Right. He was looking for a man to stand up for the laws of God and guide the people. He said, I didn't find no man like that. Well, guess what? We're supposed to be those people. We're supposed to be that hedge to protect the people, to show them the right way, to guide them down the path on what to do right. We just don't, as leaders, we just can't be, we can't take on the title of leader and not be a protector to the people, not be the safeguard to them, not be the ones they can trust in to do the right thing. They don't know better. They come in here not knowing better. We're supposed to show them a better way on how to live. Be the example to them so they can say, you know what? I want to mimic this. So when destruction comes, they're tempered. The laws of God has been struck. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Like I told you, the example I gave with Bishop when he told me about return the package. Okay, now I learned. You know what? Be different. Be that example so when the next person comes, you can be that example to them. So they got it right. They figured out what tempered was. Very good. You actively repairing the people. You're filling those breaches. Showing them, instructing them in the laws of God. This is how you keep the Sabbath. This is how you keep the dietary law. Brother, you got to work. You can't not. Nah, nobody can take care of you. You got to do these things. You want the people to respect you. Be that example. Always speak from the space of healing the people. Here's one. Proverbs 12. goes back to what we was talking about in Galatians. Proverbs 12, verse 18.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health.
But the tongue of the wise as well?
Is health.
Read on.
The lip of truth.
The lip of what?
The lip of truth.
The lip of truth.
Shall be established forever.
For generations. We just read that. The lip of truth, the lip that teaches the law, is going to establish forever, for generations. So when the next leaders come, they will follow the same pattern. A big thing that we talk about amongst leadership is, help me with the word, I can't think of it. After we go, succession. Thank you. I don't know what I was thinking. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Succession. The next line, I'm talking to you captains too. We get older. We're not here. Is the line of succession going to follow the blueprint of these scriptures that we enforce? That's, to us, that's the biggest thing, is that we don't want to see the next line, this whole thing just crumble and fall apart. It's like, what happened? Did we not do our job? Did we not show the people? Imagine this legacy folding because the next generation is covetous. And nobody speaks up. And nobody does anything. For generations, the lips, read that verse again.
The lip of truth shall be established forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment.
It'll fall apart. This whole thing will fall apart. If I'm here teaching in deceit and hypocrisy, if leadership, this will fall apart. But the lip that teaches the laws of God, that enforces the laws of God, that instructs the people, they're going to be the hedge to lead the people back on the right path. And it will continue for generations. You all understand that? This is about legacy. This is about repairing the breach and growing back, reestablishing the nation of Israel. So when we have these men conferences and we talk about these things, and we had the men's conference, and we're going through about accountability, about integrity, about how to build, and brothers are in there taking pictures of their and sending it to other brothers' wives. Bro, come on. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. You don't believe, bro. You don't believe. You're just going through the motions. So it tells us, Ephesians, let no corrupt communications. Ephesians 4. You know, real quick, before we read that, Ephesians 4:29, before we read it. Sometimes, you know, I know, who made the men's conference this year? Out of you, who made it? Okay, good, good. And I noticed, and even last year, but the year before, do you notice when Bishop Yawasop teaches, do you notice he gets angry? His anger is because, and I pay attention to him a lot when he talk. His anger is out of a place of, damn, we need to be better. We can do better. We cannot accept, mediocrity. He don't have time, like, what are we doing? We're going to, for money? You tell me for money that we can go out and work, that you, if you need help, from we're going to destroy this because we just don't want to get up and go to work? Well, we a hoe for money? All this stuff that we have, by the grace of Most High, have seen built over the years by you all men, we gonna throw away because of ego? Shame. 4:29.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Bring it out.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying.
But what?
But that which is good to the use of edifying.
Read on.
That it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Everything. So now, guess what? It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that you could be the hedge to the hearers. What have we been talking about? What is the one thing that we have been talking about today that a brother should not be doing? It's lying. What else? Okay, read the verse before that one.
Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more.
Come on, bro. You think it's just written there arbitrarily? But let no corrupt communication come out your mouth. You should not be stealing. But what?
But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Why is that verse right before let no communication come out your mouth? Because you lie and steal. Okay, read verse 25.
Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor.
So, he says, don't let no corrupt communication because you're going to lie and steal. If a man does not work, and if a man do not work, he will steal. Out there now. He got to pay his bill. He will steal. Let no lying, read that again. Verse 25.
Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another.
Right, because your lying affects the body. Your stealing affects the body. It says, let no corrupt communication come out your mouth. Why? Verse 30.
Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Do you understand at the end of it? I'm sorry. At the end of it, you are grieving the Holy Spirit when you lie and you steal from God's people. One second. I need. Okay, what's this? This is what you're supposed to be. Verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Wherewith that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
That you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. Read on.
Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Well, I can tell you now, it's hard to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace if you're lying and stealing. If your conversation is corrupt. If you're F-bombing brothers, it's going to be very hard to keep it. It's going to be hard to grow. No, it's not going to be hard. It's going to be impossible to grow. People are not going to buy into this. You're supposed to do what? 23.
Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
And be what?
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Mm-hmm. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness.
Is created in what?
Created in righteousness and true holiness.
It's created in righteousness and not fake. In righteousness and true holiness. Give me a second. I'm looking for something real quick. Give me one second. Why don't you speak for a second? Just give me a second.
Hey, what the word vocation go into? Can you say you walk worthy of your vocation? What the word vocation go into? Somebody pass one of them right. Shalom.
Shalom, Leadership Officer David, Los Angeles Camp. Purpose. Vocation is purpose.
Yes, purpose, but there's more to go with that. Give it to Jaya right in front of you.
It's going into our job.
Our job.
Our profession.
Our career, our profession, our occupation. This what this is supposed to be to us. We're supposed to be a prisoner to this Bible. You understand? Prisoner to the Lord's statutes and commandments that's given to us. We got to walk worthy of that calling. You understand? Yeah. This is our lifestyle, y'all. This ain't nothing you could put on today and take off tomorrow. You got to live this thing day in and day out. You understand? That's why he said that. Read one again. Are you ready, Bishop?
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
You read one again?
Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation.
So he's telling you. He ain't asking. He's telling you to work worthy of your vocation. Beseech you. He's telling you to walk worthy of your calling. Come on.
Wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness.
No, wherewith you was called to do what? What you been called to do? Huh? Y'all sure you understand what y'all been called to do? We've been called to restore, renew, bring our people back again to the Heavenly Father. You understand? We've been called. This is our life career to go out there and teach this word, prophesy to the people, build their spirit up because it ain't in a low place. You understand? And this word, only this word alone can build them back up. But it's our job as men of the Lord to go out there and feed them this. You understand? Because we are prisoner to this law. We are prisoner to this word. We are prisoner to this Bible. You understand?
So in that, if back to the point in that, and walking worthy of the vocation you're called. We read it earlier. We are to be servants to the people. The sacrifices that leadership and that leaders have to make is for the greater good of building back Christ's kingdom. It means time. It means money. It means you got to, and sometimes neglect your own family for the greater good of the body. But if this is monetary, if this is about status, then this will never grow. It's called sacrifice that has to be made. So we can't come in this and we're still lying and we're still stealing. Doesn't work. Matthew 20. So back to what I was thinking, my thought. I was talking about Bishop Yahweh. You see his anger, like his vehemency. It's because he wants us to level up, demand more, be better. Come on. We could do better. We need to do better. We're not going to get out of here like this. So here you men that want to be leaders. Matthew 20, verse 26.
Book of Matthew chapter 20 verse 26.
Come on.
But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
What? It says what?
But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
Whoever is great among you, let him be your minister. Read on.
And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant.
And whoever's the chief man is, this is Christ speaking, he's supposed to become a servant. This is the vocation which you call. A leader is called to be a servant to the people. Again, we are nothing if we can't do our job, which is to instruct you. And if we're not instructing you wisely and properly, we have no profit to God. We are servants to you, not you to us. We're to feed the flock, not the flock feed us. Read.
Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto.
Wait a second. Christ did not come to be ministered unto.
But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
And to give his life as a ransom for many. That is the blueprint. You want to measure up to the full stature of Christ that you read in Ephesians? You have to become a minister to the people and a ransom and give your life for the people. Anything short of that, you're not fulfilling the duty that you called on, that you said you called in this truth for. Leadership does not exist to build, guide, and correct, and serve God's people.